Welcome to the Rise Network podcast show, a podcast dedicated to help you reach your dream lifestyle through investing in real estate. We're going to be sitting down with new, intermediate, and experienced investors to talk all about real estate and how it has changed their lives. If you're looking to scale your portfolio or even just get into real estate investing, you're in the right place. Make sure to tune in.
Hey everyone, this is Austin here. I'm not joined with Maya today. And the reason being is because we're starting a little bit of a new series where we're releasing short podcasts anywhere from 3 minutes to 10 minutes long. And we're going over the quick 101 fundamentals of real estate investing, whether that be technical, mindset, or other things we think you should know when beginning your journey in real estate investing. We're going to start off the topic with cash flow. And you hear this a lot in our podcast. Mayu and I are huge cash flow oriented investors. But different investors have different definitions of what cash flow means. And different investors calculate cash flow a bit differently. The most universally accepted way to calculate cash flow is your revenue minus your expenses. Whatever your revenue is, minus all of the expenses, that will be your cash flow. So either your cash flow positive, which means that your revenue surpasses your expenses, so you have leftover money every single month, or your cash flow negative, which means that your revenue does not generate enough to cover all of the expenses of your rental property. On the highest level, your revenue is generally just going to be your rental income. So how much you're renting the property for every single month. Of course, there are other different tricks to increase your revenue, whether that be renting your parking space or your shed, but we're not going to go into that. Let's run with an example and say that you're renting a property out for $1,000 a month. And now we are going to the expenses. And with the expenses, depending on the property you have, they'll have different types of expenses. So your expenses, the most common one is going to be your mortgage payment. So that's both the interest and equity portion. So your mortgage payment's one, your insurance is another, property taxes is another, vacancy is another, bad debt expense is another expense, of course. Also your maintenance/repairs. And as well as, if I didn't say insurance, what else is that? Your utilities, and also your maintenance. So if you're renting out a condo, you might be paying a monthly maintenance fee. And property management. Of course, if you're not managing the property yourself, then you have to hire out property management. Just an FYI, rule of thumbs for me is that when calculating my expenses, I do not try to underestimate it. I want to find out what the true cash flow of a property is. And of course, finding your mortgage payment is easy enough. Finding your insurance payment is easy enough. Knowing your monthly property taxes is easy enough. Your utilities, that's one thing that's going to vary. I generally try to overestimate my utilities from what I think it's going to be. So if the tenants are not paying for utilities, find out what the average water bill, the average electricity, and the average gas is to operate the property, and try to benchmark that up by another 10%, just to be conservative, because when we're running cash flow, we want to be conservative. You're going to hear that a lot throughout the podcast. Another big thing is that most people do not calculate for vacancy. And that's because they will argue that the vacancy rate is 1 or 2% in the city that they're investing in. Well, the vacancy rate in the city I'm investing in is about 2%, but still every single month I allocate 3% of my rental income. So again, our rental income is $1,000. So I'll allocate 3% of that. So 3% of $1,000 is about $30 every month. I'm allocating $30 every single month, assuming that there's going to be a vacancy. And this vacancy might not happen in 1 month. It might not happen in 2 months, but eventually it will happen down the line. When there's a tenant turnover, you want to budget for that, and you want to budget for that in your cash flow. So generally, I assume 3% every single month of my rental income will be budgeted towards a vacancy expense, regardless if it happens or not. And in your city, that might be higher. That might be 5%, that might be 10%, or it might just be 2 or 1%. But I do suggest every single investor budget for it, because when there's turnaround, again, the mortgage is coming out of your pocket when the property is vacant. So of course, you do need to account for that expense. Another big expense that people do not account for is maintenance slash repairs. For me, I allocate about 6% to maintenance and repairs. And what that is that if you own a property, one day you might have to hire a plumber to do some small fixes. When a tenant leaves, there might be a lot of damage on the wall or even a bit of damage on the wall. So you need to get things repaired and repainted. You might need to do flooring again during tenant turnover, or you might need to budget for a roof replacement. These are things that a lot of investors don't account for, and they definitely need to account for that in their cash flow. Again, this doesn't happen every day. It doesn't happen every month, but it could happen in a week from when you buy your investment property. Or nothing could happen and it could take 2 years for you to get your first maintenance and repair. But nonetheless, it's going to happen, so you need to budget for it. Again, for me personally, I like to budget 6% of my rental income into those expenses. So right now, again, if you're running with a $1,000 rent example and I'm budgeting 6% for maintenance and repairs, that means that I'm budgeting about $60. So our cash flow right now is $30 for vacancy and $60 for our repairs and maintenance. So now our cash flow is down to $910. What else expenses do we have? We have mortgage payment. Again, let's assume our mortgage payment is $200. So now our cash flow is $710. And let's assume our insurance is another $100 a month. So now our cash flow is $610. And now let's talk about property management. Actually, before we get to that, let's assume our property taxes is another $50 a month. So our cash flow is now down to $560. Now I do want to talk about property management, okay? Property management is something that's quite controversial. Some investors will argue that they don't allocate for property management because they manage their own properties. My argument to that is that if you're planning to scale to any level, you're going to have to hire property management. Property management's about a $10, $15, $20 an hour job. And if you are making $70, $80, $100 an hour, maybe even $1,000 an hour, it doesn't make sense for you to waste your time in property management. So therefore, I believe that you should allocate property management no matter what, even if you're managing the properties yourself, because you need to pay yourself for your own time, or down the line, it gives you flexibility because you're able to hire it out to a property manager as you scale to more properties, and you've already included that in your cash flow. So again, $560 are leftover cash flow. Let's say our property management's about $100 a month. For most people, it's usually anywhere between the range of 6 to 10% a month for property management. So now we're down to $460 in cash flow. What else is there? There's also utilities. I know I kind of talked about that. Let's assume our utilities is $200 a month. Now we're left over with $260 a month in cash flow. And let's say we're buying a freehold single family house detached, and there's no maintenance fee, right? So there's no condos or maintenance fees. It looks like our leftover cash flow is actually going to be $260 net positive a month. If we didn't account for vacancy, repairs, and maintenance, we would add $90 back to that. So our real cash flow is $350 a month. But again, we want to stay conservative, even though those are expenses that don't happen every single month, we do want to account for it. So again, like, it depends on how you calculate cash flow and the percentages you use, but I always like to stray on the conservative side because you never know when something comes up and you do want to make sure you allocate enough cash reserves for it, because things always do come up in real estate. And again, you want to be prudent and conservative with all of your analysis. Another thing I do want to talk about is sometimes I hear investors saying that their mortgage payment or the equity pay down component of the mortgage payment, they don't include that in their expenses. I think that's absolutely foolish. Your entire mortgage payment is considered an expense. That has nothing to do with your cash flow, right? Equity pay down is a separate measure than cash flow. So cash flow is literally your revenue minus all of your expenses. And that includes 100% of your mortgage payment. Don't lie to yourself and say that your equity pay down component shouldn't be included in the expenses. It is an expense. It's most definitely an expense. The purpose of cash flow to see is if cash is coming in your pocket every month or if cash is leaving your pocket every single month. So that's my tip for today. That was a quick, I guess it's about a near 10 minutes now, fundamental 101 breakdown of the importance of cash flow and what exactly it is. Hope you found this useful. If you did, please, please, please leave us a review, share this with your friends or family or other people who you think might find this useful as well. It encourages us to make more content. It keeps us a bit motivated along the journey. Until then, guys, excited to see you for the next episode. Invest smarter and live better. Take care, all.